Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
We're in the middle of a series called Be Free. And the series, we've started at John chapter 8, verse 31, 32. Verse 32 says this, that if you'll know the Jesus, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Again, the Passion Translation says this, if you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your lives. And this series is specifically geared towards bringing out some things that maybe we haven't necessarily focused on as Christians. I know I was raised in church my whole entire life, and nobody taught me what I'm teaching in this series. And maybe it's just because of the fact that we are one-third human, if I could put it that way. We have a natural mind, we have natural eyes, natural ears, and we can relate and root into the natural things that we participate with on a daily basis. But two-thirds of you is not flesh, natural. And if you understand that, you'll understand a lot on how to interact and participate with what Jesus bought for the entire human race. It seems so much that a lot of times what we find that we do is we teach, even in church, we teach series that seem to fortify our natural thought processes. Not that there's anything wrong with that per se, but if that's all we ever do, then all we're really doing is fortifying our natural thought processes. Give you an example. The letter that Paul wrote to the First Corinthians, we call it First Corinthians. There was actually three letters, we're missing one, so it very well could be Second, and Second Corinthians could be Third. But we call it 1 Corinthians. And so much of the time what we'll do when we teach out of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament is we begin to teach on the natural subtitles that translators put in there to divide the letter up into different sections. We'll teach on marriage. We'll teach on, you know, communion. We'll teach on those things. The challenge with that is that if we break it all apart, we fail to see and realize the overlaying theme of the entire letter is you come behind in no spiritual gift. He starts off the entire letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and he starts from there, and he never leaves that subject. He just brings in other contents of natural life that are supposed to be influenced by the overlying subject, which is you come behind in no gift. How do you live your life married, living out of your spirit in operation, living in the experiences of the interaction of Holy Spirit's giftings, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of healings, working of miracles, all those things that are mentioned in the 12th chapter. How do you interact with and utilize that connection, that Holy Spirit connection in your life, in your marriage? How do you interact with that Holy Spirit connection in other things that you do that are brought out in the translator installed subcategories that are put in that letter? So there's more to you living life than just what's in your natural mind. And Jesus here in John chapter 8, verse 30 and 31, he starts off in verse 31, again as review. He says, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. And again, I've told you this, that, you know, I was raised in church my whole life, and depending on what circle you're running in, that word disciple means something else. Some folks think that word disciple means you ride a two-wheeler and ride around with a shirt and tie on and go to door to door. Some people just ditch the bicycles and use their legs. And they knock on doors. You know, and it means different things to different people. But wouldn't it be important to know when Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciple, you'll truly be my disciples. Wouldn't it be kind of important to know what he was thinking about when he said the word disciples? Well, he goes on to say that if you can, you'll continue my word. And again, that word is the word logos. And I want to give you a thought on that word logos. We've said in the past that it's an accounting term, and it means thought process from A to Z. But I want to submit this to you too, that the word logos really has the idea of God's original thoughts. Everybody say that, God's original thoughts. How many know it would be important to walk and live in light of God's original thoughts on things? Right? Not the religious man's original thoughts. How many know there's layers of those? But he goes on to say, Jesus says, if you continue in my word or my original thoughts, which are my Father's original thoughts, then you're truly disciples of mine. And in verse 32, he says, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I like the fact that he's saying that if you'll grab onto something, it will make you free. You don't have to strive to be free. It'll make you free. And it's fascinating that, you know, so much of what we call freedom is probably three-quarters freedom. Or you can assign a percentage to that, but it's not really 100% free, because we're not living 100% out of our spirit with our mind, our will, and our emotions submitted to what he gives us in our spirit. Your spirit is the real you. Even the world knows you are one, because they make movies about it all the time. Anytime you see a movie about somebody dying, all of a sudden you see somebody's faint reflection of somebody and they're walking along, they're telling you, we understand that man is a spirit. Right? So, that's the real you. You just happen to wear an earth suit when you're on the planet here. Not trying to be creepy, but that's really what it is. So the word there, the word logos, literally has to do with God's original thoughts. So he's basically saying, if you continue in my original thoughts, then you're truly disciples of mine, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, I've quoted this verse a number of times in previous weeks, but Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, defines from the mind of the Spirit of God and from the mind of Jesus what he meant when he said a disciple. Everybody say a disciple. My heart cry is that we as local churches come to the place where we understand that this is what a disciple is. And so from the point in time when somebody gets taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of life because the Spirit of God opened up their vantage point to heaven's perspectives, and they saw Jesus for who he really was, that the only thing they needed to tend to was learning how to develop their ear to hear and their eyes to see what they're supposed to be hearing and see. And everybody said, amen. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 says this, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. What do you suppose that in those sentences, what is he speaking? He's speaking what he's getting. What do you think would happen in this city if all of the folks that are learning to develop in hearing and seeing in their daily, everyday life would learn how to inject into other folks' lives the encouragement that the Spirit of God wants them to have in that moment and in that encounter? That would be amazing. There would never be a question, because I'm telling you this, the Spirit of God has a way when he speaks into your life or when he speaks in somebody else's life, he has a way of speaking to the very things that they're aware of and they're searching for answers in. And so he will confirm to them, to their face, that Jesus really is alive and he knows everything about them and he thinks they're magnificent. What do you think would happen in these cities that we surround ourselves with, where people would come to experience the fact that Jesus is alive and he thinks they're magnificent and he has some things to inject into their life to lift them up into his perfect plans and purposes in the earth? So Jesus is speaking of this kind of a disciple. And he went on to say, if you read at the end of Matthew, you'll find this. He said, in light of this term disciple, one who knows or learns how to and develops in learning how to know, how to sustain the weary one with a word and to awaken and to hear things the Spirit of God is speaking to them when they wake in the mornings. That's the same kind of a disciple that Jesus told the disciples before he was taken back to his Father at the end of Matthew. He said, go into all the world and make... You suppose it was a different kind than this. And you notice he didn't say just go make individuals disciples. He said go and make disciples of all nations and teach those nations how to develop in hearing what I'm saying and speaking what I'm saying. It just takes one after another, after another, after another to experience someone who's learned how to be trained or developed how to be trained or submitted themselves on how to be trained to hear what the Spirit of God is saying in a moment and speak those things to someone. Fairly soon, you'll see nations turn and want to develop in those very same things because they experience as a whole, they begin to experience the fact that Jesus really is alive and he really thinks they're magnificent. Are you with me today? So, we looked at the word, the kingdom of God is mentioned a number of times. The very first thing that is mentioned about Jesus when he comes on the scene is it says that he began to say the kingdom of God is here. And then it quoted an Old Testament verse that spoke about what Isaiah was seeing. A great light came upon the people. A light dawned on the people. So there's a connection between light dawning, light coming, and the kingdom of God being here. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, or it's literally right here, right now, as I'm saying things, the kingdom is here right now. And I'm submitting this to you that when he left, just because he went to be with the Father, the kingdom didn't leave. In fact, the very same assignment, if you'll read the letter that John wrote, we call it John, you'll find that Jesus gave those disciples and all of those that would believe according to their word, John chapter 17, all those that believe according to their word, which would be everybody in this room and anybody else that's listening, he gave us the exact same assignment. He didn't give us an assignment with no tools. The kingdom of God is still here. Right? So the kingdom is described in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The kingdom is described in a number of different ways. It's talked about, as I've mentioned before, the light dawning. It's talked about in reference to being a fountain on the inside of you. He said it's a well. But once you begin to, John chapter 4, John chapter 7, once you begin to participate and take drinks out of that well, once you start putting the demand on and learning how to develop, getting things in your spirit from the Spirit of God and giving those things to people, that well begins to turn to a river that flows up and it'll become commonplace in your life. But we have to learn to develop in our drinking habits. Right? I want to develop a drinking habit. So it's called a light. It's called light dawning. It's described as a fountain. It's described as a narrow gate that most people miss. Again, I find that fascinating that when I was a kid, they always talked about the narrow gate being giving your life to Jesus, and most people aren't going to do that. But that's not really what those verses are talking about. If you put them back in the context, it's talking about recognizing the open door or the narrow gate or the Spirit of God showing you, giving you direction, laying something, giving you an impression, giving you maybe just a thought that you might think is, if you're not trained to recognize these things, you might just shrug it off and say, well, that's just me, and you won't pay any attention to it, you won't act on it, you won't step through the door. But the Spirit of God is saying, look, the kingdom of God is like this. It's like an open door. It's like a river or a fountain on the inside of you. It's like a well, but you have to practice drinking and drinking out of it so that it becomes a river. It's like a narrow gate that most people will not notice and walk right on by. Folks, I'm telling you, I was raised in church my whole life, and quite frankly, we walked by that gate a lot. In fact, I wasn't even told it was there. I never even learned how to pay attention to see if it was there. But you need to know something. Human beings were not designed to live disconnected from Him. They were designed to notice those gates, notice those open doors, and know what to do when they see them and when they notice them on the inside of them, and begin to recognize how the Spirit of God directs, leads, talks, and speaks to you. Revelation 1:3, I love this in the Passion Translation. It says this, and again, it is talking about the letter that we call Revelation. It's the revelation of Christ, of Jesus Christ. But in that letter, that'll show you who He is right now. He's not who you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Revelation will show you who He is right now. But one thing I found fascinating was, like, what's the one book, except if you're my daughter, what's the one book that nobody wants to read? Revelation. My daughter, when she was a kid, we used to always, go read your Bible for 15 minutes. So she'd either read Job or Revelation. I think she did it on purpose. But anyway, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, in the Passion Translation, it says this, "A joyous blessing rests upon one who reads this message and upon those who hear and embrace the words of this prophecy." So when it goes on to say this, "For the appointed time," everybody say the appointed time. The appointed time is in your hands. Now, one thing you can say about these verses is, it's saying a joyous blessing rests upon the one who reads this message, hears it, embraces it, and the appointed time for you to understand is right now. It's in your hands. It's not up to somebody else. You might as well say amen. It's not up to somebody else. You know, we've kind of developed this culture, probably came out of the Dark Ages, that we don't read our Bibles because how can we possibly even understand these things? We got to go to some building and have some guy tell us what it says. I mean, that's pretty archaic. And that's not the way human beings are wired. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need what the Bible calls the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or four, depending on how you read that. But the fact that the mindset that says, I don't have any way to understand this, so why try? You've been listening to a lie. Because you're absolutely wired by the Spirit of God to know how to pull revelation of Scripture out of this book, and He'll give it to you if you'll spend time with it. So the appointed time is in your hands. Now, how can we tell if we're living from revelation towards other people? You notice in that picture behind you, I'm assuming that it's actually there. Hey, it is there. Do you notice that all three of those gears are touching? Do you notice that if one gear, that the largest gear there, let's say that large gear is God. Okay? And let's say that the other gear, the small gear there, is you, and you're intertwined with Him. If He's doing some things and you're engaged, you're going to be submitted to what He's doing, right? And guess what happens? When you're engaged with what He's doing, guess what happens to that other gear? It turns too, because it's engaged with you. What happens if that small gear, what if you pull that away from the teeth fitting inside the teeth of the larger gear? What happens? It's disengaged. And then the larger gear that's engaged with the small gear won't do anything either, because it's not engaged to the larger gear, the largest gear. If you're trying to follow my train of thought, go on Best Life Church, whatever it is. What is it? /activity. You'll figure it out. It's on there. It should be on there. But you have to be engaged. If we're engaged with Him, how do we tell if we're living from revelation towards others? This is a pretty amazing point that I want you to get this morning, because, again, we get so used to reading scriptures and thinking that it's all up to us, and I've got to change my life, and I've got to tweak things in my life, and I've got to be better, do good. I've got to be the one that makes the changes. Well, that could be exhausting. I mean, I feel like that's kind of like the gerbil wheel. You get on there, and you're running as fast as you can. We used to have some guinea pigs, and, you know, some of them got a little bit zealous for their food. So, but they would run, they'd try to run on these things, and then they would just stop and they'd fall. And they'd get on, they'd try to do it again, and it didn't work out too well for them. But that's kind of like the Christian life. If we're trying to do things, be better, do good, all this kind of stuff, you know, the first thing you need to recognize, if that's kind of where your thought process has been, then you're trying to relate to God in your natural mind and your natural emotions. You've essentially dumbed down Christianity, or had Christianity dumbed down for you, to where you just only relate to Him in your natural thought processes, and you don't see any way that it's going to work. I had somebody tell me this one time. They were completely in their natural man. They said, you know, Christianity is impossible. Amen, brother, it is. So why do we keep trying to get on that gerbil wheel and do it? You were never created to interact and experience Father's Christianity from a natural place. It's not to say that it won't affect those things, but you're not supposed to connect there and that be the only source of your connection. Notice in 1 Corinthians 8:3, notice this. It says, if anyone loves God, everybody say, love God, he's known by Him. Does that verse make any sense? If anyone loves God, he's known by Him. How many of you love God? How many know that you're known by Him? Tell the truth. You know what's so amazing what that verse is actually saying? It says, if anyone loves God, he's receiving, everybody say receiving, being known by God. You know why that's true? It's true because 1 John 4:10 says this, this is love, not that we love God. So you're not the initiator back in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. See, so much of the time we try to do the love God thing. Well, I just want to love God. I just want to love God. I'm just loving God. I'm just trying to love God. Then you're trying to do it in your own natural thought processes and your own natural emotions. What happens when you do things out of your own natural emotions? It's super to duper until your notions change, and then you pull out like that gear, disengage from the gear, and now you're just idle and you're off by yourself. Somebody hurt me, so we pull away. Well, you're functioning out of your own regular emotions. It's not to say your emotions won't be affected, guys. Don't get me wrong. But we're not supposed to relate to Him out of our natural emotions. We don't initiate the I love God thing. Our love to Him is a response to what He's already doing and revealing to us. 1 John 4:10 brings that out. This is love, not that we're loving God or not that we love God, but that He loved us. If I say He loved me. Now, He loved me and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now, we're going to talk a lot today in the terms that we understand about our interaction with Father, His interaction with us, and learning how to live from the place of revelation. We're going to put all of that concept into the understanding of technology. Everybody say technology. Technology. Most folks understand what the internet is. Most folks understand what a smartphone is, understand what an iPad is, understand what a computer is. that's connected to the internet, right? So here's what we understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, it says that if anyone is loving God, then 1 John 4:10 says it's a response to Him first loving you. Right? If we're loving Him, it's a response to things that He's revealing to us that are drawing our heart to Him, so then we in response love Him. So what we could say, 1 John 4:10 says that He loved us, and that love communicates Him knowing us. And in response, 1 Corinthians 8:3 says our response is we love Him because we recognize that He is, and we're receiving those glimpses, that information, that download, so to speak, of Him knowing you. Does that make sense? Christianity is not I have a book, I like this book, my book's better than your book. It's not that at all. It is a human being learning how to develop. You came out of darkness, you've been placed into the kingdom of life, the kingdom of life, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of life. He's connected you directly to Him, and He wants you to learn how to get those constant downloads from Him, because He has good plans for your life, and He wants to lead you up into the best experience you've ever had your entire lifetime, because He created you to do certain things, to accomplish certain things, to be certain things, to interact with the kingdom of God, to produce certain things in your life and out of your life, living connected. He designed for you to hear Him in real time. He designed for you to be able to notice and recognize when He gives you that glimpse, when He gives you that thought, when He gives you that, well, I just had a hunch, when He gives you that, you know, fill in the blank. Step out on those things and allow Him to prove to you that what He put in you is authentic, so that it will fuel you taking another drink and another drink and another drink, and pretty soon that well turns into a river. See, the biggest challenge I think you've had, and you guys know, folks, the biggest challenge is it's not that we don't, well, some folks do say that if God speaks, then we're just adding to the Bible, but that's not so, because the Spirit of God, He said, as He told us in Romans, that He gave us His Spirit so that we would know what's been given to us freely. So there's a transaction of revelatory information that's supposed to be taking place all the time. If it takes place out of His Word, then it's supposed to take place out there in the street too, in the moments when you're standing or when you're out there in the marketplace. He just wants us to learn how to develop in these things. So we're going to talk about these things in the context of technology. If anyone is receiving being known by Him, he's being loved by Him. That's essentially what those two verses, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. And you'll notice behind me you have a screen of a... How many have ever seen a screen like this where you're on your computer and you're downloading something? Okay, human beings are designed to have 24/7 constant downloads from the Spirit of God. You might as well say amen. What's the other alternative? Well, the other alternative is you have no internet connection. I hate that. In fact, I was putting these slides together, and all of a sudden I started noticing this funny thing on each one of those slides, like it was a big red warning triangle with an exclamation point, and I suddenly realized after about 2 or 3 hours that all of the images and things, everything that I had put into this sequence of slides, none of it was there, really, because my connection to the internet wasn't there. I don't know where it went. I have no idea. But it wasn't there. So I ran around, not frantically, but I did run around, trying to figure out what the heck's going on, because I had been up quite late, and I didn't want to stay up anymore. So I finally figured it out, and once the internet connection came back, bam, everything was there, and everything went back to normal. So normal for you as a human being is to live connected to Him. You might as well say amen. Amen. So 1 John 4:20 says, the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. Because if he's not loving his brother who he can see, he's not living in that connection. Because remember what happened. You love God just because he first loved you. Well, that when he's loving you, he's telling you, and you're receiving information that he knows you. That process of that stream of revelatory information from him to you is built into his love for you. He goes on to say this, those who are loved by God, and I believe this is, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour. This is out of the Passion Translation. Those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. So there is the process. The process starts, God loves you. That's the internet connection. Now you got to have a modem that's going to pick up on that signal. Right? Don't get one of those old ones. Get a good one, you're going to get a new one. He gives you the best one. When he takes you out of the kingdom of darkness and puts you in the kingdom of life, he dropped in, he caused your spirit to become one spirit with him. You got the best modem in there, and it's designed 24/7 to be connected with him. But we still have to learn how to pay attention to the things that are coming in that transaction, that download. Those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another. Why? Because you can't not respond or be affected by that transaction of him loving you. And in that, it's kind of like that conduit. The conduit is his love, and inside the conduit is all the transmitted information, which is him knowing about you and knowing you. And that transaction comes when he loves you. He's constantly showing you, he's constantly revealing to you in the midst of that love that he knows you, he knows who you are. And it's not a bad thing. He's trying to lift you, encourage you, and build you up. That's where human beings were designed to live. But the effect of that is you automatically turn horizontally if that connection is there, vertically if that connection is there, horizontally, You love people. You know, as I was pondering that, that's the system. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. And you can read on, I think it's verse 11 here, or it could be verse 7. Well, it's verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. First John chapter 4. You might check verse 21. For some reason, it's not on my screen there. Those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another. So that is the system. If we would have learned when we came out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life, that the first order of business is for you to learn how to be loved by him. And we're not just talking about your emotions feeling good. That's where most Christians land, is in their emotions feeling good. You know, Pastor, how can you tell that? Because as soon as somebody rubs them wrong, what happens to their emotions? This is telling you that the authentic process of a kingdom man or a kingdom woman is you learn, like John said in 1 John, we know and believe the love that God has for us. I'm convinced that the reason why we have so many challenges in our relationships, I'm not even talking about in the marketplace, I'm talking about just in the church. I believe that sincerely the reason why we have so many challenges in church environments and with church folks is because they were never told that your success in loving those around you is only connected to how much time you spend with him in your private time. And if we've bought into this thought process that, well, I don't have time to spend time with Him, I'll spend time with Him, I'll turn the radio on in my car. I'll spend time with Him, I'll turn on some music and la-ti-da along with it. I'll go to church on Sundays and that'll be my time spent with Him. The challenge with that is that's where you meet the people. If we didn't develop any kind of established that transaction of receiving, being known by Him in our own personal time, in private, in His Word, then you're not equipped to love anybody around you. You're still stuck in your own emotions, and you could emotionally do it until they stroke you the wrong way. So maybe the reason why there's so many relational challenges is because we didn't realize that He gave us a system to successfully love people around us, but it was dependent on that 24/7 connection of Him loving you and you submitting to that love, and the transfer of revelatory information of Him knowing you spills out from you and so overwhelms you that you can't help but turn horizontally and love those around you. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm basically saying is this. If you're having relational problems or challenges, check your vertical connection. Because your horizontal connections are telling on you. You might as well say amen. This is the thing that's so amazing that, you know, we realize God set this whole deal up. There's just no way to con. You can con in mental Christianity because you can say the right things, you can talk the right way, you can act the right way, you can do all this, you know, and no one knows the difference if they're just all plugged in mentally. But if we're not plugged in just mentally and we're plugged in one spirit with Him, you can't con this thing because you're not going to see what you're supposed to see or hear what you're supposed to be hearing if you don't have that vertical connection. If you don't have that vertical connection in 1 Corinthians 8, and you don't spend time developing that vertical connection, then that's the connection that's going to allow you and give you the empowerment to love horizontally people around you. Without that, you don't have any way to do this. You've reduced it down to mental Christianity, emotional Christianity. It's a counterfeit. It's not authentic. You know, we just came off of a series called Authentic Community. We're not done with that series, but at some point maybe we'll come back to it. But the fact is that the only way a local church can have authentic community is if we're all authentically established vertically. Because if I'm established vertically and everyone else is established vertically, what happens? Then that means we're established horizontally. Because we're going to be of one heart and one mind. Because we're all in the same vertical connection. The only reason there's rifts and there's emotional bent out of shapes and there's all kind of stuff, you fill in the blank, is because somebody in that scenario has not established this. And it's impossible to have authentic anything without this. First John 4:7 in the Passion Translation says this: everyone who loves is fathered by God. Everybody say fathered. And experiences an intimate knowledge of Him. Now, the word of there literally means from. We saw it in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Those that are loving God are receiving being known by Him. This is the tail end of that. This is the other side of that, the other side of the coin. Everyone who is loving, everyone who loves, even vertical or horizontal, doesn't matter, is receiving being fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge from Him. You've got to have that vertical connection. You've got to allow yourself to be fathered by Him in order for us to have successful, authentic anything, one with the other. Can you see that? This has been the biggest challenge that we've had, I think, in local churches, is we didn't realize that this was the process. There is just no way around it. There's no way to con this thing unless we just want to settle down into our natural, emotional, mental Christianity, which in that place, we're really no better than any other religion. No wonder the world has a hard time figuring out what's the difference. Oh, well. Okay. But if we live in that connection, if we learn how to develop that connection, you know, let me ask you this. How do you know when you're in front of your computer at home or on your phone? How do you know when you have an internet connection? Because you can see it, right? If you didn't know the bars, because I very rarely check the bars. It's not really on my screen. Very big. So, if your screen comes up and you're on the internet, that's a good sign that you're probably connected, right? So how do you tell if you're on the internet? You can see it. How can you tell if you're not on the internet? There's no connection, and your phone proves to you there's no connection. Same thing is true with Christianity. How can you tell when someone's living their life from revelation? Now, you remember we said that the kingdom of God was described as what? It's described as light. It's described as a river. It's described as open door. It's described as even a mustard seed, the most insignificant, smallest little thing ever. That's speaking of the most minute, smallest piece, the smallest glimpse of anything that's revelatory in nature that comes from the kingdom can turn anything natural just like that. That's why he described it as it's like a mustard seed. It's like something you would completely disregard. If you saw it on the ground, you wouldn't even probably see it and you'd walk right over it. He's still talking about the same thing. He's talking about that transition of revelation from kingdom to you. It's that, it can be that brief or that small or that minute of a bit of direction. So we have to train ourselves to recognize it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus says it like this: "You're the light of the world." Now, he said that he was the light of the world. And you see how he conducted himself. But now he says, "You're the light of the world." Because you're functioning, you're created to function from the same light that he lived from. Right? I said, right? "You're the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden." Look at verse 16. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." See, when I was a kid, I read these verses, and this is what these verses meant to me. I was to be a good person, be a good guy. Everybody would see all my good things that I do, and then they would praise God. Is that true? No. It's not true. Sometimes it just makes them mad. You might as well say amen. So that verse can't be talking about what we thought it's been talking about. If you put it back in the context of the entire thing of Matthew that he talked about, he started off by talking about what? The kingdom of God is right here, right now. And then he went on describing what the kingdom, how the kingdom interacted with natural people. It was a light that dawned on people. It was a river. It was a door, an open door. It was a narrow gate that most people miss. It was a small, minute little piece of mustard seed that most people don't even pay attention to. So he goes back to the concept of light here in Matthew 5. You're the light of the world. Why? Because you're living from kingdom like you're created to. And he goes on to say, let your light, or let that revelation that you have allowed yourself to develop in receiving from the kingdom of God, let it shine before men in such a way that they'll see your good works, or the works that are produced, the results that are produced by you stepping through that open door, or you picking up on that small mustard seed glimpse of revelation that you acted on, and it produced a result as large as it describes in the story, a large, massive tree that all the birds of the air could come and just sit and rest under its shade. First John 4:11 says this: "Delightful loved ones, if he loved us with such a tremendous love. Everybody say downloading. Here's the process. Delightful loved ones, if He loved us with such tremendous love, let me ask you a question. Did He? Is He? Is He right now? Can you say downloaded? Then loving one another should be our way of life. Isn't it amazing that we, somewhere along the way, we thought that we were supposed to muster up the ability to love each other on our own? When the very system that you're anchored into is He loves you, you submit to that love, He begins to show you who you are from His original thoughts. Remember what Jesus said, if you stay in My original thoughts, then you will be My disciples. You will learn how to have a tongue that speaks encouragement into the lives of people, and you will learn to train your ear to hear Me when you wake up in the mornings and speak what you get. It's all talking about the same thing. Psalms 119, verse 30 in the Passion Translation says this, "Break open your word within me until revelation light shines out." Those with open hearts, everybody say open hearts, are given insight into your plans. We could say open hearts another way, since we're going to keep it in the context of technology. Those that have that 24/7 connection, those that have that internal modem that's receiving the signal from the heaven wide web. Break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Those who, with open hearts, are given insight into your plans. And then it goes on to say in verse 131 of Psalms 119, "Ineffable cravings and lovesick longings consume me as I thirst for more revelation." So what is the result of someone developing in learning how to submit up under the revelation of Him that is His love, that comes through His love? What happens? It creates a passion in you. It creates a passion in you vertically. Everybody say, a passion in me vertically. It creates a passion in me vertically and creates a compassion horizontally. If you've read your Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find numerous places. In fact, I think if you go to last week's digital bulletin, you'll find a number of references that you can look at in your own time that talk about the thing that Jesus was directed by so many times in any situations He was in, was He was led by compassion. Folks, that compassion's not there if the vertical connection's not there. I was thinking about this at one point, and I realized this, that so many times what we do is, if we don't have that vertical connection developed to where we're constantly connected, submitting ourselves up under, like Jesus, He submitted Himself up under what he was hearing. If we don't learn how to develop that connection with Father, the compassion's not there horizontally because the connection's not there vertically. But what we do is where there's a void of compassion, we inject rationalization in it. Where there's a void of compassion, we inject, to fill that space, rationalization. And we start paying attention to what we don't have, who we're not, who we don't, you know, how we don't have this and we don't have that and we're not this person. And so what is all that? That's all rationalization that we've injected to fill that space because there's no compassion there. But the compassion's not there because we don't have that vertical connection developed. When the vertical connection is developed, the passion, the result of this is saying, Psalms 119, verse 30, when He breaks open His word within us and revelation flows, Our hearts are open, and he gives us insights into his plans. Well, what that does, it produces a thirst for more revelation and a passion for him. That's just the vertical connection. You say, how do I know if my vertical connection is established? Do you have a passion for him and his word more than anything else? I'm telling you, I don't mean this in a bad way, but he's very addicting. He's very addicted. In the natural, you can cause your body to be addicted to anything. Just feed it that enough. Some people are addicted to food. Some people are addicted to condemnation. Some people are addicted to drugs. Some people are addicted to attention. Some people are addicted to who knows what. Just fill in the blank. You know, all of us as humans, there's something there. That's because we develop these paths, these ruts that we get in, and it creates a, we don't even realize we're doing it. Well, he's the same way. His stuff, there's a, if I could say it that way, I hate to use that word almost, but there's an addiction there that develops for that process of spending time with him and him showing you things. It creates a passion in there. And it's an all-consuming. That's why, so you see that in Psalms 119, 130-131. Notice this. This is back in Matthew, I believe it is. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. How many can you say that the vertical connection is there? Right. Having a clear eye, your whole body will be full of light. That transition of revelation from kingdom to you is going to be constantly there because you're constantly submitting yourself into that environment. And it's creating an addiction and a passion for that. And as you do that, you're receiving being known by him. It creates an overwhelming love back to him. And then in turn, when you turn from that place and you go and participate in the marketplace, it creates a hunger and a love for people. So if the eye is the lamp of the body, so if your whole eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. So you've got that connection. As you can see in the picture, that phone is connected to the internet. Now, notice what it goes on to say. But if your eye is bad, and I put in parentheses with your own unsanctioned opinions, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The worst place we could wake up one day and realize is we've been living life on the throne of our own opinions. How many know the only revelation flowing there is how great you are? Well, the way to fix that is just fix your vertical connection. Pastor Shelby said it earlier. Once he becomes the biggest one in the room, then your connection is reestablished. Verse 24 says this, no one can serve two masters. This is out of Matthew, I believe, chapter 6, actually. No one can serve two masters, for either you'll hate the one and love the other, you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Now, that same thing applies to the condition of your vertical connection. Because if the condition of your vertical connection, if it's good, then you're going to be loving the one you're connected to. If it's not sound, and it's not a good connection, you're not going to pay attention to that connection. You're going to love other connections. You're going to love to connect horizontally better. Right? He says, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. What do you suppose those treasures are? It's that flow of revelation. See, this is another verse that when I was a kid, no one knew what it said. This one was always talking about me on going to heaven. Well, if I'm in heaven, I don't need to store things up there. I'm already there. Right? He says, store for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust or thieves break in and steal. Now, doesn't this sound an awful lot like what Jesus told Peter? Peter, you're blessed because my father revealed this to you, not natural man. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Moth and rust and thieves will not break in and steal. It's still talking about the same thing. It's that transition, that transfer of revelation from heaven to you. Can you see that? He goes on to say in verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what is this talking about? It's talking about your vertical connection. If you have a passion for the revelation of the Spirit of God, and you value that more than you value anything else, you're going to invest time in that, and you're going to develop that vertical connection, because that's where the true treasure is. For nothing is hidden. I love this verse. Luke chapter 8, verse 17, the NASB says, for nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. This is not a negative verse. This is a great verse. This is talking about that connection. Unlike my connection yesterday with the internet, it never is interrupted. You may seem like there's a lot of things that are veiled, there's a lot of things that are covered up, folks, but there's not a thing in your lifetime that you won't have the ability, if you develop this relationship, this vertical connection, that nothing will stay hidden or not become evident, and everything that's secret at some point will be revealed, because that's your right as a kingdom man or woman. Verse 18, so take care. What's the next word? How you listen. For whoever has revelation, to him more shall be given. But whoever does not have, even that which he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Can you see the difference? We cannot afford, guys, to live in mental Christianity. We cannot afford not to create or develop that vertical connection with Him out of His Word in our private lives that show us how to recognize what revelation from Him looks like, so that when we go in the marketplace, we can pick up on it more frequently. Because He's saying that if you'll develop that vertical relationship, He says, take care how you listen, for whoever has what? Has revelation. Has developed that environment like Jesus did. He learned how to submit himself up under that which he was hearing. More will be given. But if we just settle into our own mental minds, even whoever does not have that developed connection of revelation, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away. Mark chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 said it like this. Getting ready to close. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown. Remember, anytime we talk about seed, we're talking about kingdom. The kingdom is like a seed. It's like a mustard seed. Well, guess what that mustard seed, that seed represents? That seed represents revelation. It can be that small, that minute, that insignificant, that we have to train ourselves how to recognize how it comes to us. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, especially the rocky places, who when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. We're getting ready to step over into the world of mental Christianity. Ready? They hear something, strokes their emotions, whoop, whoop. Preachy, brother. But then, verse 17 says, but they have no firm root in themselves. What's the root they're supposed to be having in themselves? That vertical connection developed in receiving revelation from the Spirit of God. This is important, guys, because in coming messages in this series, you're going to realize some things, why some things maybe haven't worked, because it's built on this foundation. And I'll be honest with you, I'll be the first one to tell you, I didn't ever see it till now. They have no firm root in themselves, but they only temporary. Then in affliction and persecution arise because of the word. Immediately they fall away. That's emotional, mental Christianity. That's where a lot of folks live. That's how a lot of us learn to live. But we're learning now that there's actually a different. The authentic Christianity is being rooted in. It says they have no firm root in themselves. What do you suppose the themselves is talking about? Who's the real you? Your spirit. Where does revelation come from? Out of your spirit, from His spirit, because you're one spirit with Him. Your Bible says all of this. So Jesus is talking about a human being that is living out of their mind and their emotions. They don't have any firm root in their own spirit with His spirit. And that relationship, that vertical relationship that He modeled so perfectly was not established to where we cultivate the flow of revelation on a constant basis because we have a passion for it and we value it more than anything else. For the sake of time, I won't read Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 32. You can read that on your own, but it solidifies everything we just got done talking about in the writer of Mark, which he was the first one that wrote the letter in the gospel. Mark was the first one. We talked about it from Matthew's vantage point, from the Spirit of God. Mark goes through the same thing. He ties all these things together. So now that you've got some insight into these things, this would be a good time for you to develop in cultivating that vertical connection of revelation flowing, and go read Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through 32. Notice this, and we'll close with these verses. This is the picture of someone who has developed that passion. There's nothing more important to them than sitting in the presence of Jesus, sitting in the presence of the Lord with His Word, and letting that revelation flow. Some might say, well, I can't do that. No, you haven't done that. It's not that you can't, it's just you haven't. Because to say I can't would say that 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 is not true, that 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, verse 21 is not true, and that's not so. Remember, we all live in an earth suit, right? And this thing has certain things that it wants to do and things it doesn't want to do. We say that His Word is healing, right? So why would we not expect it to do that if certain things aren't cooperating? I know folks that has had dyslexia. I know folks couldn't say that word. That had dyslexia, couldn't read. But they kept submitting themselves to the Word of God and kept going in. And now that Word has set them free. This is, really, these are confessions of an addict. Psalms 119, and I put all of them on the digital bulletin. We'll close with a couple of them, but there's all of them are on the digital bulletin. You'll see all the things that he said. He says things like this, "Open my eyes to see the miracle wonders." This is Psalms 119, 18 and 18 through 20. Or, "Open my eyes to see the miracle wonders hidden in your word. My life on earth is so brief, so tutor me in the ways of your wisdom. I am continually consumed by these irresistible longings, these cravings." Psalms 119, verse 48. These are all out of the Passion Translation. He goes on to say, "I long for more revelation of your truth. For I love the light of your word as I meditate on your decrees." Psalms 119, verses 99 and 100. "You have given me more understanding than those who teach me, for I absorb your eye-opening revelation." Now he's getting ready to tell you how you grow in your capacity for revelation. Does anybody want to know? Yes, Dan, I do. Okay. I'll tell you. Psalms 119, verse 99, he says, "He gives me more understanding." Why? Because I absorb what He already gave me. He goes on to say, "You in verse 100, you graced me with more insight than the old sages because I have not failed to walk in the light." Why did he grace him with more? Because he walked in what he got the first time. How do you grow in your capacity for revelation? Well, first of all, you absorb what he gives you, and then you walk it out. And when you absorb it and you walk it out, he gives you more. And the more that transaction of you absorbing it and walking it out, he gives you more and keeps giving you more. That's the process. If we'll learn to do that, if we'll learn to walk out the last thing he showed you, that's designed to take you to a higher level. He wants you to learn to walk that out and make it be a part of you, make it be you, and then he'll give you some more. That's the process. This person that wrote these, they've obviously done that, because it says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, we're going back to Mark 4:23 and Revelation 1:3. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said that so many times. But it's not up to anybody else. It's up to us as individuals. For the appointed time is in our hands for understanding and cultivating our capacity for revelation from the kingdom. Anybody get anything out of this? Let's stand. Father, I just want to ask you right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I want to ask you. Holy Spirit, I want you to create a passion for you in the hearts of the hearers. There might be natural physical things that seem to challenge us in these areas of spending time with you, spending time in your word, and learning how to farm revelation out of your word from you. I get that. But this natural body is also submitted to and at the mercy of your word. And your word declares that you sent your word and it healed them. You sent your word and it healed us. So I would ask you right now that you will create a hunger for you, for those that maybe they have, well, I used to do the reading thing and I don't do that anymore. I would ask that you would create a desire inside of them to get back into your word and allow you to create that passion and that vertical connection of revelation flowing. And if there's any natural obstructions, any natural things that are challenges in trying to keep that connection from being established in that life habit, I ask that you would cause, as they take in your word, that your word does exactly what it says it's supposed to do, and it heals them. And they wake up one morning and they realize they have such an intense craving and passion for your word and for that flow of revelation and for them to know and believe the love that you have for them and the revelation that flows on the inside of that transaction. And they'll be like the writer of Psalms 119, this that passion, that thirst for a revelation of you, from you. Is theirs. And I just thank you for it, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for what you're doing in these cities. I thank you for what you're doing in the churches in these local cities, the local churches in these cities. I thank you that you're drawing people into your heart. You're causing open doors on the inside, and you're bringing people up into a realization to recognize how to recognize the open doors, how to recognize those narrow gates, how to recognize that mustard seed size, a glimpse of revelatory information that could set somebody free and cause them to live in complete and utter freedom that they've never experienced. I thank you, Lord, that these cities, the people in the marketplaces are experiencing you because you're bringing your people up into the realization of the fullness of the kingdom on the inside of them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody agree with that prayer, said, Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.